We have two ladies in studio this morning who've got a lot of things to talk about because there's a very special forum that's going to be coming up very shortly within the next couple of weeks here in Attleboro. A lot of people may know about the St. Vincent de Paul Society. The organization has been around for a long, long time and helps a lot of people who do need it. You know, there is not just the parish here in the Attleboro area, but there's the organization has been around, as I said, and helping a lot of people who really need it as well. And with us in studio are two women who know a little bit more about this than I do. We have Diana Reeves and Irene Frechette. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
In harmony, you did that. Very nice. Very, very good. First off, Diana is here. Diana. I was correct. Okay. All right. You got a forum coming up very shortly. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. First of all, we'll talk about who you are and your little bit of your background. I know that you're a former educator as well.
Well, right at present, I'm chair of Voice of the Poor, which is an arm of St. Vincent de Paul. Mm-hmm. And I've been active in my parish for many, many years. And I've actually been the chairperson of Voice of the Poor for probably, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's a group that started in St. Mary's Parish in Mansfield, but it is now a district-wide group of Greater Attleboro. So we include 5 additional towns along with Mansfield. So it's certainly Attleboro, North Attleboro, Norton, Rehoboth, Seekonk. Have I gotten them all?
Norton.
And did I say Norton?
Yeah.
So we are a group that's concerned with social justice issues, and that's something I've been interested in my whole life.
How did they come up with that name, Voice of the Poor?
Well, actually, we didn't come up with the name. It's the name that is suggested by the National St. Vincent de Paul group. Mm-hmm. And when you think about, I know when I think about St. Vincent de Paul, I think back to my childhood, and it was actually, there was a store in our neighborhood, and right. We went to that store, mm-hmm. and we got coats and mittens. And
sure.
I know that St. Vincent de Paul would be the group that we would call if we knew anybody who needed food or who needed assistance sometimes with transportation. In the more recent times, St. Vincent de Paul has branched into something called systemic change. Right. So we haven't stopped with charitable works. We're certainly still continuing to put our efforts there. But we're beginning to look at how can we impact the larger issues to begin to change things for people in need. Mm-hmm. So we walk with and we speak with the people in poverty, people right. who have lost their resources. And so what we are trying to do is to impact, oftentimes largely through legislation, policies that will make their lives better.
I know that, with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, always helping a lot of people who do really need it. There are other organizations that do the same thing here in Attleboro as well. One place is right down up on South Main that they do a lot of work as well. With us also is Irene Frechette. Irene is also another person who a lot of people may know in this area. First of all, Irene, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dom. How are you?
I'm doing well. Irene's husband, Armand, who's been a guest here in the past, is a lot of people may know, part of the Senior Center Theater Group as well. And a lot of times when Armand is up on stage, he kind of does a lot of his brunt of his jokes towards his lovely wife, Irene, as well, because Irene does go to some of these events as well.
This 55 is years.
How many?
55.
55 years. God love both of you. Armin's a great guy.
He certainly is.
He really is. He's a fine, that's mm-hmm. for sure. But anyways, now, as I said, you've been involved in this organization for a number of years as well.
God,
and what basically do you do now?
Oh, so many things. I've actually been involved in the organization for at least 40 years.
Wow.
Our organization starts within the Catholic churches. There's a group of people who want to do good work, and that's called a conference. And as Diana said, then conferences in the District of Attleboro, there are 10 conferences. But I work every day. I go to over on 95 Pine Street. St. Vincent de Paul partners with what used to be called the Attleboro Area Council of Churches. Right. Now we're called the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative. But the collaborative really deals with the they have 6 food kitchens in this area. But there are other things that people need. So poverty isn't described, it's described as a lack of resources. It could be food, it could be opportunity, it could be education, it could be so many things. And so St. Vincent de Paul tries to pick up on those other sides, helping people with their electricity, their rent. Sometimes we have nothing to give but to listen and to offer a shoulder to cry on, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, the good thing about that is, as I said, you know, Diana, this is something that is available for anyone who really needs it.
Yes.
How can someone get involved in this? I know that there's opportunities for volunteers out there as well, but when you do have this problem with a lot of people out there, and there are many people that you may not even know, your neighbor could have a problem like this, and you may not even know. You know, day to day we go through our lives and we see our neighbors say hi here and there, but then all of a sudden some of the neighbors, even in my neighborhood, you know, you say hi here and there and this, and then you have no idea they could be living a paycheck to paycheck, or maybe not even a paycheck. How does the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and how do people can get involved in this?
Well, one of the ways that I think, most people come to us is that in our weekly bulletin at the church, there's always a number running printed. Mm-hmm. If you need help, call this number from St. Vincent de Paul. And at the bottom of the little article, it says, share this with your neighbors. So that number, there's a similar number in each of the parishes, that in each of the conferences that Irene mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. I know a lot of people go to the
Council of Churches.
Of Churches, thank you, and are funneled back to St. Vincent de Paul in the whatever conference they might be from in that way. So I think that opportunities like this, where we're talking on the radio, people will hear more about it and will seek to either refer themselves or their neighbors. We try to get the word out. It's often mentioned in fact, will be mentioned. Our events are very well covered by the Sun Chronicle. Mm-hmm. We get into both diocesan newspapers, the Pilot and the Anchor. So we try to get out into as many public venues. Mm-hmm. There will be postings, for example, about the family walk that's coming up and the forum in the local libraries. I even put them in the supermarket. So
And AACS has been wonderful covering our events.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the other thing is a lot of times when the weather gets a lot better, there are a lot of these walks out there as well. I know that there has been some of these walks that started at La Salette and other places as well. But this forum, why don't you talk a little bit more about when and what is going to happen coming up in a couple of weeks?
Thank you. The forum, I actually had a conversation with someone who thought it might be gladiators and people dressed up. It's not that.
No, different way.
It's a legislative forum. It's an opportunity for people to have kind of a kitchen table conversation with the people that they've elected to represent them. I think in this day right now, with so much stress over politicians and fake news and what is fake news, what isn't, this is an opportunity for people to actually just converse about issues that are important to them. And it's going to be February 10th at Bristol Community College in the Attleboro campus. Mm-hmm. It's free. It's from 10 to 12. And we have had positive responses from our local legislators, our state legislators, and they will be sitting up at a table, and the audience will determine what topics we talk about. I've been attending meetings here, there, and everywhere and soliciting topics from people, and when you come in, you'll have a chance to vote for 3 topics that are of importance to you, and in that way, we'll determine what the priorities of the audience are. And those will be the ones we'll start to talk about. So certainly I've heard people concerned about low-income housing, affordable housing that's really affordable. I've certainly, there are a lot of people concerned right now about raising the minimum wage, people talking about mandated family and medical leave. I've gotten a lot of responses having to do with transportation issues in the Attleboro area, not so much right in Attleboro, but getting, for example, from Attleboro to Norton can be challenging if you don't have a vehicle.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for neighborhood issues to percolate. up to our legislators. We had very good responses last year when we ran it, particularly from the legislators themselves, who said, well, this was very useful, and we learned a lot. If you do it again, please invite me. So I'm looking forward to that kind of exchange this year.
And this is doesn't cost anything at all.
No.
They can come in. This is open to the public, very convenient at the Attleboro campus. A lot of plenty of free parking.
And Armin's bringing donuts now. I have to say that.
There you go. Donuts
and coffee.
There you go. And
the thing is, it's non-confrontational.
Right.
We want to learn from them the situations up on the Hill.
Right.
And they were wonderful last year. They really listened to us. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity. Because that's the thing with St. Vincent de Paul. We're trying to help the people that we serve realize they have a voice. We've invited, so we have something called a Getting Ahead class, which brings people who are just getting by into a 16 to 20 week program. And we are trying to, we just started a new group several weeks ago. We've invited all those people there to help them realize that they can be heard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, when you're so down, you don't think anybody's going to listen. But the legislators, they do want to hear, and the only way they're ever going to learn is to hear it directly from the people who are affected. I'll give you, for instance, we were in the discussion last week, they were talking about computers that the kids need to have to get their homework assignments here in Attleboro, mm-hmm. And some of these people can't afford them. And so I contacted our mayor, and he put me in touch with the school superintendent. The school superintendent's going to come over and talk to us. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's great. To let people know that it's contact the people in power, contact the legislators. They will listen if you give them an opportunity.
Yeah, with you've got some people in power now that a lot of people may not know these people. You know, you've got Mayor Paul Hureau. You've
yep.
got
mm-hmm.
Dave Sawyer, the superintendent
yep.
of mm-hmm. schools. You've got a lot of these people who do have power to do this and do that. When you had this forum down the line before, and when you have yours coming up in a couple of weeks, who are some of the other legislative people who are invited to this?
We have, we've invited Betty Poirier, of course.
Oh, she'll be definitely there.
Our new Senator Paul Feeney.
Yeah.
Howitt. Yep, Steve Howitt.
Ross, Poirier.
Barrows.
Jay Barrows from Mansfield yeah. will be attending.
And I think the mayor's going to attend.
The mayor is attending, but not as a speaker. He's
right.
coming
yeah.
to assist because if there are questions that pertain to the work he did before he
right.
resigned from his position, he will be there. So we have pretty well the full slate that represents the towns that are mm-hmm. included in our district.
It seems like you've got everybody who needs to be out there attending this. We'll talk a little bit more about this because this is a very, very interesting program that you may not know, so, as I said earlier, you may not know who is involved in this, but you may not even know that your neighbor possibly, can use this, or yourself as well. So we'll get into a lot of other things coming your way as we continue with these two ladies in our studio, Irene Frechette and Diana Reeves. And right now, Gina is standing by with our final update on the traffic. Gina.
Well, really not a lot of improvement. 95 northbound is heavy. Mechanic Street to Walpole Street. You also have some heaviness approaching 495. Stop and go as you make your way up out of Sharon through Canton. The expressway is still full and overflowing. 95 south, a little better through those Pawtucket S curves, but still pretty heavy. 295, some improvements, but do expect delays getting down into Cranston out of Johnston. 146 is back to Belt Mineral Spring. We're still seeing lots of heavy traffic around the Kent County area, unfortunately, of 95. So if you're going to be around Kent County, Rhode Island, you need to plan for a few extra minutes. All roads into Providence, again, still lingering delays, but we are getting better. A 24 northbound, still very heavy as you try to get up into Avon, a little better through Taunton. Next report coming up tomorrow morning. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
Okay, Gina, thanks once again. Of course, Gina's updates continue tomorrow morning right here on 1320. Irene Frechette and Diana Reeves are in studio talking about a forum and that is coming up with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Is it called an organization, society? I know growing up as a Roman Catholic, we had an organization with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Society in our church in Providence. What's actually the full name of the society?
It's the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, but we are an organization. We are a 501c3, which means we are tax exempt. And we actually, the St. Vincent de Paul Society started in France, in Paris, France, in 1843 by a young man of the age of 20, if you can believe it, 20 years old. And that's how we started.
Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, when you know about all of these organizations, and it's and they're still around, which is always nice to see. You know, it's some of those organizations that it's not going to go away. You know, unfortunately, these issues don't go away because, as you said, somebody will need it. You know, about talking about the poor out there. The organization, as I mentioned earlier, On Common Ground, have been doing this for a number of years in our community.
And we work directly with Pam Bliss and Anna from On Common Ground. The Getting Ahead class that we have, this will be our third year, we invite Anna and Pam into, because what we're trying to do is help people who are just getting by realize that they actually know how to solve their own problems, but they just haven't had the opportunity. And so after 16 weeks, you built a bond with them, and you don't want to just let them go. You can't let them go. So they need somebody to continue walking with them. And it may take 2-3 years. There's no magic bullet. It may take 2-3, may take 5 years. But the one thing that they're going to do is make better decisions. And it's groups like On Common Ground with their mentors, those people are going to continue the walk with them and just be a friend sometimes, just to listen.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Just even to somebody to listen, you know, what's going on. You know, you're talking about the poor. But St. Vincent de Paul does a lot more than just helping poor people as well, right, Diana?
Absolutely. Certainly the voice of the poor, the subgroup, if you will, within the larger society, its major thrust is advocacy. As I said, we try very hard to inform people, and that's what this forum is about. You can't really go and try to influence legislation or influence local policy or ask for the bus route to be different in your town until you know where the bus route presently is. And so one of the big things we try to do is share information. But in addition to that, and more recently, particularly in the greater Attleboro district, we have branched out into attempting to influence the criminal justice system. We are working in concert with the problem-oriented police team, and we have focused in the last year very much on people returning from prison and attempting to assist them in getting their feet on the ground and making a better life for themselves. And in that effort, we certainly have partnered with some wonderful organizations in Attleboro. We're part of the self-sufficiency team that Irene started many years ago. That's a group of people who meet on Wednesday morning, first Wednesday morning of the month, primarily service providers, care providers in the Attleboro area. But once you're plugged into that, we as Vincentians, assisting a person coming back from prison, know where to go to ask for housing help or know who we should be talking to about trying to get your rent lowered or your rent taken care
That's
of.
That's a laugh.
Yeah, good luck with that. But we've become part of the Greater Attleboro Recovery Network. Many people coming out of prison now, I would say 90%, have drug issues. So we've become very much more integrated into the community, and criminal justice issues were certainly not part of the St. Vincent de Paul of my childhood. So we have certainly branched out into more societal concerns, not giving up direct assistance, food, clothing, shelter, but trying to look at the quality of your life in addition.
Yeah. Also, when you think of the society, as I said, growing up as a Roman Catholic in Providence, our church, St. Anthony's in Providence, not in North Providence, always had special collections every once in a while for it. And then also now with the help of we do have a St. Vincent de Paul Parish here in Attleboro, mm-hmm. Which is always nice to see that. As I mentioned to you off the air earlier when you guys came in here, I know that there is a home in Woonsocket, St. Vincent. Mm-hmm. Home. And growing up in Providence, used to know that there was, I don't think it's there anymore, St. Vincent de Paul home on across from Mount Pleasant High School, which basically dealt with young ladies who were unwed and didn't have any other place to go with their child. Mm-hmm. And they helped out it, and they basically back then took it with the Diocese of Providence. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mentioned this also, that when Googling this topic here over this past weekend, I happened to see it in the Anchor. I saw it online, and you weren't really aware of that, but like somebody was doing their work.
Somebody's doing their job.
Yes. That's exactly what you want. You really want you want this out there in the public. You know, you've got the newspapers, you got the cable, you got the radio forum as well. But the other thing is, and we talk about this a lot of time when I have people on from the Chamber of Commerce, networking. You don't know who's going to hear it. So that's exactly both of you want to get more about. Get the word out as much as you can, because word of mouth, it can go by very, very fast, Diana.
Yes. I've actually been very excited, and I haven't even had a chance to tell you this, Irene, but the group that you shared, the students, where were they
so
from?
So there was our local YMCA,
yeah.
Started a leadership group for young people from Norton, Bishop Feehan, in Attleboro High School. Mm-hmm. And it was led by a gentleman by the name of Michael, I think, I forget his last name, but anyway, to bring these young people together to look at social issues, social mm-hmm. justice issues. The very first topic they wanted to talk about was poverty and homelessness
right.
in the Attleboros. So they invited Janet Ricciardi from the Council of Churches
sure.
and myself from St. Vincent de Paul, and we brought our local homeless Hattie, our own Sue Smith, mm-hmm. who does a wonderful one-woman act, and the young people were actually blown away when they, after it was all said and done, they were told that she was not really homeless, Hattie.
Right.
Well, the end result of that was that they then submitted topics to the forum. They contacted me saying they would like to come to the forum, and I was thrilled to find that we would have an audience of mm-hmm. younger people there
right.
to express their issues, and they submitted ideas that they wanted to have covered, which I think is absolutely wonderful and
excellent.
The kind of change that I am delighted to see.
You know, and when you think of something like this, especially talking about the poor, to help these people out there, you may not know who is out there, who is suffering from this.
You never know.
And a lot of times you think, oh, it's these people over here or those people over there, more of an older class people. But as you guys know, this can happen to younger people out there. You don't know when these people, these teens or their 20s or 30s people out there, they may not have grandparents or parents anymore, even if they do have them. But this can happen to younger people as well. That's why a lot of you're having these forums, especially for the younger people as well.
Right. It's been, over the years, the Voice of the Poor has focused on societal issues, and one in particular did impact younger people aged 15 to 23.
Mm.
We had a whole campaign to try to influence the legislators to fund a law that they had made but not funded, and it was a law to provide shelters for people that age in our state. They had voted in to have the shelters, but not allocated any money. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago, mm-hmm. we went around town. People may recall we had a mannequin dressed as a teenager that we had placed on park benches and on concrete walks near places.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
it very well. And that was a very successful campaign. All we wanted from people was signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And people were very eager to sign in support of that allocation, and in fact the allocation was made. So that was a great instance of how going right to the grassroots of the community, and people did that in other towns around Massachusetts, we were able to bring about a change that benefited a whole segment of the population.
And I think, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of our residents don't realize is that when they see somebody standing outside the local Stop and Shop with a board to looking for signatures, they're not actually asking for a vote. All they want to do is they need the signatures to either allow somebody to be placed on a ballot to run for office, or in the case of the unaccompanied youth, to let the legislators know that they are in support of funding this type of legislation. So I would want to encourage everybody who, whenever they see somebody standing outside one of the local businesses, to really not walk by them, but to greet them and find out why they're there, because it's an educational process.
You know, you went into that because that's a really good topic right there, because a lot of times in the last few years, you've seen some of these people outside of the stores, like Walmart or a place, standing here and there. I know in some instances, you know, some of them, you know, a lot of them, you know, is actually true. You know, they've got a problem with here. They're living day to day, maybe. But, and, you know, in the news in the last couple of years, I have seen they've been undercover people, and they have all of a sudden, you know, somebody actually followed that person, and there's a brand new Cadillac in the next parking lot that they get into. Sometimes, you know, you never know where these people are. But most of them, and you've got to figure out, most of those are legitimate people out there, because they're, you know, if they're, they do need, you know, a couple of things have changed, dollars, something like that. They're saying, you know, I'll work for money and stuff like that. So you do get to see a lot of those people out there. And it seems to be a lot more in the last few years.
True. There's a lot more people panhandling. Yeah. One of the things that we suggest is if you are so inclined is to have some energy bars. We do not suggest that people give the money.
Right.
But if we do suggest that if people are so inclined that they have some energy bars or something in their car and give them something to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we need to feed the body, but you know, giving money sometimes can lead them to taking things, purchasing things that they shouldn't be putting into their body.
Right.
We actually have seen, I would say, an uptick on people willing to at least stop for a second and engage as we've gone out to try to engender community support around a particular issue by asking people to sign an affidavit in support of a proposed law. I guess I would say I'm seeing people become more comfortable doing that. And it's a difficult thing for the person trying to get the signatures, and it's kind of a difficult thing for the person to stop long enough and ask, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think that's another big change within the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. What might in the past have been construed as political activity, I don't want to get into that, that's kind of political activity, that's actually not what it is. It's waking up to the issues impacting not only yourself, but the people around you. There's a great quote St. Francis has said, the Lord is knocking at the door of your heart. Have you hung out a sign that says, do not disturb? And the idea is, get out of your comfort zone. At least find out what the person is asking or trying to talk about. You can always say, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
And I know that the first time I called up my senator, I was shaking so much, I was on the phone. I mean, it's a good thing he couldn't see me, because, I was in awe and fear of that I would say the wrong thing, or, you know, should I address them as your eminence, your honor, your what?
Right.
And now I'm very comfortable with it. But that's what I hope will happen as a result of people coming to the forum. They will see that the people they elected are regular folks who are as curious to know what they think as we are to know how they're moving forward with legislation.
And I think we as the older generation need to offer that to our younger generation, to give them license to say, I want to know more, ask good questions, learn, and part of this whole forum is to really to have our audience educate the legislators themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I won't say they're living in a bubble, but they are not on the street having to worry about how they're going to pay next month's rent. Right. So it's only when they can encounter people who are worried about next month's rent that they're actually going to learn. Mm-hmm. So this becomes a learning, a two-way learning, two-way communication
now,
situation.
Now, you're here down on Pine Street here.
Yep.
If somebody does have a problem, you know, in poverty or what have you,
yep.
How can they? Of course, you do it all anonymously. You don't
right.
have to worry about other people knowing. So
that's right.
When someone needs help, they'll come up to the Old Richardson School here.
They'll call us at 508-222-2933, mm-hmm. and they'll ask for Irene or Kathy, mm-hmm. and we'll talk to them on the phone. Depending on what their particular need is, we may refer them to the St. Vincent de Paul conference that is closest to their home. Mm-hmm. There we get calls from people who are outside the area, and we suggest that they call the whatever local in. None of this has to do with religion.
Right,
we just
right.
happen to be Catholic. But we do not discriminate against anybody for anything. Mm-hmm. But we will recommend that they call the local Catholic Church and ask for the St. Vincent de Paul Society, because the St. Vincent de Paul Society is in 152 countries. It's all right. across the United States. And none of us we're all there for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's the way we do it. Here, locally, it's 508-222-2933.
You know, you make a good point there, Irene, saying that because in the past few years, a lot of organizations will put out bins, like Duffy Pool Funeral Home here in Attleboro has done this for the number of years with its owner, one of our sponsors, Ryan O'Hanlon there, has done this. And it's put out especially the winter clothes bins,
mm-hmm.
and you know, with Ryan and his staff there, just a small portion of the people who may need something like that. And then he will go to the local church, St. Vincent mm-hmm. de Paul here in Attleboro, and give it out to, you know, to the church and give it. I think if there are more people, I think you would agree, ladies, if there are more people like that coming up down the line, I think there would be less of a problem with poverty out there.
Well, certainly. I was sharing with Irene just before you came to get us that yesterday, coming out of church, I was stopped by a mother and her three daughters, and the three daughters are trying to earn their badge in philanthropy.
Okay.
And they're little kids, and they were very, very genuine in their desire to help people with less than they had. And they finally decided that they were going to have a clothes collection process and specifically try to collect clothing for children, which is always a need. St. John's Clothing Center, in actually the building that Irene is in, has a wonderful opportunities for people to get clothing, and they're always looking mm-hmm. for kids' clothing.
Right.
So
and they're free.
I really had to congratulate this mother and her three kids that, you know, she was teaching them at an early age to be generous.
That's always a good thing. If mm-hmm. you teach these young kids early enough,
yeah.
then they'll, you know, they grow up to, you know, like hey, you know, I've, you know, this is something we can do, you know,
yeah.
and help anybody else. I know in the past other organizations do kind of the same similar, like
mm-hmm.
the Girl Scouts, you know, with diapers and other mm-hmm. things
yep.
that they need as well. Irene Frechette and Diana Reeves are my guests here in studio talking about a legislative forum and other programs that are going on throughout the St. Vincent de Paul Society. We're going to take a quick break right here. We do have the latest update on the forecast. Jim Corbin standing by in just one moment. Stay with us.
The Empowerment Factory will present Overcome Adversity and Create a Life You Love on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at their location in the Hope Artist Village in Pawtucket. In this class, participants will learn how to change the lens of their perception and identify the messages they may be running from. The class aims to give participants an opportunity to leverage hard times into a braver, better version of themselves. The instructor, Susan DiLorenzo, is an author, speaker, and certified transformational life coach.
Project Citizenship and the Literacy Center are holding a citizen workshop to help people fill out their N-400 application for citizenship. The workshop will take place in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room from 3 to 8 p.m. on February 28th. Project Citizenship is a nonprofit agency that works collaboratively with community-based partners to help eligible, legal permanent residents overcome barriers to become a U.S. citizen. If you would like to attend the workshop, you can register by calling Project Citizenship at 617-694-5949.
If you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and are unsure of what to do or where to get help, Abundant Hope Pregnancy Resource Center in Attleboro is here for you. We provide lab-quality pregnancy tests and counseling to help you plan for your future. And to those families struggling to take care of their little ones, we offer diapers, wipes, and baby food. Perhaps you are experiencing pain or grief from an abortion. We have a post-abortive healing program to help you resolve those feelings. Our services are always free and confidential. Call us at 508-455-0425.
All right, back with us once again, Jim Corbin, standing by with the latest conditions on our forecast, Jim.
Well, Tom, still have periods of rain around the area right now. Not everyone getting it, but everyone is a damp, raw feel with a very light breeze out of the northeast. The one thing we will not have for this week is a snowstorm, so that is maybe good for some. As always, at this time, this weather forecast and report brought to you by Mondovi Dental. They're located at 45 West Street in Attleboro. Dr. Juliana Sager and her staff offer a wide variety of dental services, from cosmetic and restorative dentistry to emergency dental procedures. They offer to children, adults, and seniors, and they offer exams, x-rays, and cleanings. They currently accept new clients. For more information, you can visit Mondovi Dental. Once again, if you are going north on North Main Street, you take a left on West Street, and they're a short distance on the right. You can call them anytime, 508-222-6500, 508-222-6500. All right, we're going to reach the upper 30s today, a light northeast wind. Again, periodic rain. When it's not raining, there will be a sort of a touch of mist in the air. And then areas of fog tonight, periods of rain, especially early this evening and again late after midnight. Won't be raining all the time, but certainly not exactly pleasant out there. Upper 30s, not changing much in terms of temperature. And then we spike up one day tomorrow. So those of you that like it in the mid-50s for a while, we'll reach that tomorrow afternoon. However, it'll also be accompanied by south winds 15 to 35 miles an hour with a few gusts of 40. So another one of those days where it's windy and mild, but the trade-off is a strong wind. But then we dry out for Wednesday. Sunshine mixed with clouds, highs around 40, falling back to 35 in the afternoon. Coldest day still of the week looks to be Thursday, upper 20s. Sunshine near 30 for a high on Friday. Sun followed by clouds Saturday. Right now, it looks like a minor event of a few rain showers over the weekend, maybe ending as a few wet snowflakes. Next week, it's going to be cold, not bitterly cold, but cold enough. And perhaps by the time we get to about the beginning of the month, February 1st is next Thursday, a week from Thursday, the weather could start to get kind of interesting around here. So, again, no snow this week, but maybe next week a different story.
Okay. Sounds good, Jim. Thanks for all of it, and we'll talk to you back in the morning.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Of course, Jim will be joining us back with us just after the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. All right. So we have Diana Reeves and Irene Frechette in studio with us this morning. St. Vincent de Paul Society, as you said, has been around a long, long time. And a lot of people, do contribute. But there's always, it's like anything else. They want to see more, The poor, the voice of the poor, this is coming up very shortly in a couple of weeks. When this forum comes up over at Bristol Community College, what other topics are going to be mentioned at this?
Well, as I said before, Dominic, there have been quite a few topics suggested, but the audience will actually decide which ones are their highest priority mm-hmm. as they come in. But some of the topics that I suspect will be there for sure, housing, criminal justice. There's a great concern about opiate addiction and treatment and what kinds of policies can be enacted to provide particularly more treatment beds, sober houses, recovery places. That's a big issue.
How about immigration?
Immigration mm-hmm. for certain. Although it's an issue that oftentimes has more implications for federal legislation than state. Our state legislators are certainly aware of it and assisting in it. Last year, I think we also had, I talked about housing costs. This year, there's also interest in how or if state legislators can in any way impact tax deductions taken for property tax, because with the changes at the federal level, people are interested in knowing, well, what's going to happen here in Massachusetts. And while that's an issue that would primarily impact wealthier individuals, the loss of those taxes in local places can have impact that certainly affects the population we're talking about. So that whole allocation of taxes and people trying to move their properties and so on to avoid the federal tax has a local impact. The health care is always a big one, again, with more implications often at the federal level, but we're seeing health care as a giant issue in the opioid issue. Another one that we talked about over the last year's worth of time was education. And although that's a big issue in Attleboro with the high school, education in general is an issue in this area. And I'm trying to think, Irene, you think of any other?
Yeah, no, and transportation's always a big thing.
I did mention that one.
If you live in, we have, you know, people who live in Norton who can't get out of Norton. They can't get a job because there's no buses that run, even here in Attleboro. So, but I have to say that the Great Attleboro Transit Authority has been
very good.
They work with us all the time. They do wonderful things with us. But I think they're constrained by certain legislations and money.
And that reminded me that one of the new programs that St. Vincent de Paul has experimented with over the fall and probably into the end of February right now is working with the Y and working with Wheaton College. They've made a consortium to experiment with providing Uber rides for people who are desperately in need for free. And that has been a program that has been, I think, very well received.
Evidently, it's
and how
it's
you know it,
done
the question
well.
Is, can we continue to support it? It's certainly needed, but that's an issue. I just thought of another one while you were speaking, Irene. I know what it was: raising the minimum wage. Uh-huh. That there's a lot of controversy about that, and that's certainly something that impacts the people that we serve, and also mandated family. And or illness leave, medical or family leave, being mandated. That's an issue that's before the legislature right now, or will be. Actually, that's something that will be on the ballot next year because we collected signatures to have that question asked.
You mentioned about our representatives as well. There's going to be a number of people that will be out there. Sometimes some of these representatives, you know, may not know what's going on. You know, some of them do, of course, but that's why you're getting all these people coming in as well. One other thing that when you mentioned these programs, you mentioned about opioid and stuff like that. Another organization that has been very, very possible coming in as well. Now, we had her in the studio not that long ago. Representative from Arbor Fuller Hospital here in South Attleboro, Carrie Ballou.
Yes, we've been working with Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie, as you and you also mentioned the POP program, the police department here, Chief Kyle Hegney.
I think we're very, very fortunate here in Attleboro.
There's a really wonderful safety net in this area.
Yeah, people have really come forward. Police Chief Hegney has gone out of his way to educate his offices and reinvigorate them to be more helpful. And the POP unit is wonderful. I mean, they call us, we call them. You know, you have to help the whole family.
Sure.
There's a reentering, somebody just coming out of incarceration, but they've got a family, a wife, children, parents, whoever, who they left behind. Maybe they can go back there, but maybe they can't. Right. So we look at the whole family. And that's what St. Vincent de Paul is able to do. And here in Attleboro, I think we're very fortunate. We have a lot of people who care. June Fleischman over at City Hall has the community, CIT, I can't remember what the CIT stands
intervention
for.
Intervention team.
Intervention team.
The crisis
intervention team. We are very, very fortunate here. But the work goes on. There's always some new twist, some new thing that has to be dealt with. But St. Vincent de Paul is part of it, and we're there.
Give that number again if people need more information for St. Vincent de Paul locally.
It's 508-222-2222. 2933, and they can ask for Kathy or Irene.
And you've been working with that organization for a number of years, right?
I have. I'm the former president of the board of directors. Yeah. I started working with the Council of Churches back in 2004, mm-hmm. I think. The Council of Churches is a wonderful organization. They have six soup kitchens, so right. Monday through Saturday. They have what we call the Kids Cafe, which runs three times a month, which is for children 18 and under and their caregivers. So you might not want to take a child to a regular soup kitchen, but Kids Cafe is just for them, and it's a sit-down meal. They're served. There are activities for the little ones. Sometimes resource folks like WIC or mm-hmm. people like that will be there to give them extra information. And then we have the summer lunch program. So at least 3 to 4 times a week, children who would normally be getting their lunch free at school are able to go to one of our local gathering places, the parks like over on the east side. Mm-hmm. And the Council of Churches, a.k.a., well, it used to be, I still can't get used to changing the name, but the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative provides a wonderful lunch for them and for 6 weeks in summertime.
There, you know, for many years, knowing some of the people out there putting all these organizations together, now it's a different church, the former St. Joe's Church here on mm-hmm. South Main. You know, they had their food pantry out there.
They still have a food pantry. Now they've been merged with the Holy Ghost Church.
Right.
It's now called the St. Vincent de Paul Parish. Mm-hmm. However, the St. Joseph's food pantry is still there. We have Michelle Birch over on the right. corner of Sanford and North Main Street with the Hebron food pantry. She opens her doors 2 days a week, one day for people 60 and over, the other day for anybody younger than that. We have many of the churches have their own food pantries. Mm-hmm. Murray Universalist has a food pantry. Actually, by coming to the Interfaith Collaborative office, we have all that information available. Mm-hmm. So we give people a flyer with all that information. And there's free bus rides to the food kitchens mm-hmm. That the Council of Churches has. So there's just lots of information available.
You also work with some of the local senior centers too, right?
We do.
You do the, now I know Madeline and Darlene and the staff here at Larson do an outstanding job as well.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So at Madeline and I constitute the Attleboro Energy Fund, mm-hmm. and we write mm-hmm. grants. We write grants to the Balfour Foundation. Yeah. We write grants to the Attleboro Foundation. All of a looking any way we can find money to help not only seniors, but people who are on 60 and under. Mm. Absolutely.
And while I have an opportunity to make the pitch, we're, of course, always looking for resources to assist people who are in need of help. But I would also like to suggest that we are always looking for more people to volunteer mm-hmm. as helpers, particularly in the criminal reentry program that I mentioned earlier. One of the biggest needs is simply someone to listen and hold a person's hand as they are rebuffed continually, trying to make their way back into a community. So if there's anybody listening that would think that they might want to be a mentor to a person returning from incarceration, we would love to know you. You don't need to be Catholic. You don't need to be a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. But if you are interested in getting involved in that kind of work, you could call 508-339-2042, which is my home, and I'd be happy to chat with you.
And maybe you want, if we have just another minute,
yeah, sure.
Maybe you want to tell them about the young the seniors at Mansfield High School who started a business, and their business is to find jobs for people coming formerly incarcerated individuals.
Okay. That's right.
Because anybody who's in any business person who is willing to offer or to at least speak with somebody who was formerly incarcerated mm-hmm. to see if they might be able to. Yeah. That's one of the hardest things for them coming out of jail
right.
is to be able to find a job.
Yeah, and getting back.
They're stigmatized now.
Yeah. Although we have had wonderful collaboration with the Career Center in Attleboro. I'm blocking on the gentleman's name, but he's bent over backwards to assist people coming out of
That's
prison,
great.
And he's very well aware of the needs that they have.
Right. As we get back to down to the last couple of minutes, boy, this hour has been flew right by. Tell us once again a little bit more about the forum and what can be expected when people come in there on the 10th of February.
Okay, the forum is called Agenda 2018. It's a legislative forum, no gladiators involved. Join us for an open conversation with our state legislative delegation about how we can all work to reduce poverty in Massachusetts. It's going to be Saturday morning, February 10th, and it will be from 10 to noon. It's free at the Bristol Community College Auditorium, 11 Field Road in Attleboro, sponsored by the St. Vincent DePaul Voice of the Poor Committee, and we are hoping that you will all come.
And as I said before, this is open to the public, as you said, and you may not know the people. You may not know, as I said, everything is in confidence. It will be videotaped and put in the newspaper as well. But that's exactly what you want to do. You want to get the voice out there. That's why Voice of the Poor is out there. Irene, once again, if anybody does want information, is there a website and get that phone number?
We have a website, www.svdpattleboro.org, and the phone number is 508-222-2933.
Yeah, and as you said, a lot of times people may not know the person involved in that. You know, mm-hmm. It's all done in confidence,
mm-hmm.
And it's something that. It's people turn around and they say, you know, I don't want to say anything. You know, they become too proud.
Yes.
Down the line. So there's nothing wrong with it, Diana, right? There's nothing wrong with that because there are organizations like this to help.
We all need help. Mm-hmm. We all need help.
And people need to know that they are not alone with a concern. That is one of the things that happens on both sides at the forum. People in the audience realize, oh gosh, I'm not the only person having right. this trouble. And the people up at the panel, our legislators, realize, well, that's maybe a problem I should pay more attention to. So that's been a wonderful outcome.
Right.
And someone once said that if our legislators get at least five